Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. And thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Alicia Roth, who is still in very serious condition in the children's hospital, and Riley Rosendahl, who has had surgery in the week that has gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, and thou who art so good unto all, as we have read in thy holy word, and unto each and every one of us, that thou givest us again in this beautiful Sabbath morning the ability, the health, and the strength to gather in thy house of prayer, and that thou providest for us every good thing, as we have besought it of thee in the weeks that have gone by, that thou hast given rain from the skies, that the crops may grow in our fields, and that thou hast given the ability also for the farmers to go out into the fields to harvest their crops. And Lord, we may so acknowledge thee in all thy wondrous works that thou providest for thy creation, and that thou still providest for us and for our dear children. But Lord, thou knowest that we have not only the needs of this natural life, but we also have needs for our soul as we are traveling to thee, to thy great judgment seat. And we are come also in this morning hour around thy holy word and everlasting testimony, the means that thou hast given us to use for the need of our souls. And we come in this morning to try to ask it of thee, that as thou hast provided for us so abundantly for this life, that thou may also so look upon us for our souls in this day, and that thou may send the rain of thy Holy Spirit upon us, that it may descend upon us in thy house, as we may speak and as we may listen to thy holy word. And for thy word in and of itself, without thy blessing and without the power of thy Holy Spirit, shall only testify against us, O Lord, on that great day of days. But that thou hast given it also for a purpose, and thou hast promised thy servants when thou didst send them forth, that thou art with them always, even unto the end of the world. O thou wast to ascend into heaven,
But thou art always present with thy Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. And we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may also be in our midst in this morning hour, that we may feel it and that we may know it in truth, that thy spirit may give us the enlightening that we cannot give unto ourselves, and that that life may be born which we cannot give when we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and when our affections are tied to nothing but all that is passing away in vain, and that we have no desire after the true and the living God. But Lord, when thy spirit will come, then thou canst make it so different in the hearts of young and old. Oh, when we have been our whole life long under thy truth, and when we have felt never the moving of thy Holy Spirit, and when we must confess that we are so cold and hard and dead, under the reading and under the preaching of thy holy word and ordinances, and that we cannot give unto ourselves the least of that life that we miss. Oh, that it may be felt and experienced in this morning hour, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still alive, and that he is working even in the last days of this world to raise the dead out of their spiritual death, and to give them a true hunger and a thirst after the living God. O Lord, wherein is our hope and our expectation? Can it come from any one of us who are lying so polluted in our own blood? O, can it come from us whose will that is so against thy will? Those that need to be overcome, those that need to be taken away from all that is vain and carnal, and to be given life by thy Spirit. Lord, thou art the first one, and thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Thou sayest it in thy word. Oh, we beseech it of thee, then wilt thou also show it to us, that it may be experienced also by fathers and by mothers. Oh, that they also, in the instruction of their children, may come to learn how ignorant that they are, that they instruct indeed the mind, but that they miss that which is desiring and hungering and thirsting after God. Oh, that it may be born in this day under the administration of thy holy word. Look upon the youth and upon the children. Oh, instruct them, Lord, in the days of their youth, that that blessed spirit of thee may enter into their young hearts, and that they may be drawn from all that this world does give them to seek after, that thou wouldst put away the devices of that prince of darkness, wherein he draws our youth after all the entertainments of this world, and all that will bring them to their eternal destruction. Lord, thou art mighty, thou art almighty, and the head of Satan, and thou hast bruised in thy suffering and in thy death. Thou hast arisen from the dead. Oh, he was not able to keep thee, and he is not able to keep us either. He is not able to keep us in that spiritual death when thou wilt speak, I say unto thee, live. Oh, look then upon us, and give that the miracle of thy grace, that it also may be felt and experienced in our souls. Oh, look upon those whom thou hast given that life. Lord, thou knowest all that comes against it. Thou knowest how that it hungers and that it yearns and it thirsts after thee, as the hart panteth after the brooks of water. Oh, and it is so also in the heart of a younger and older one in this day, in this morning hour. Oh, could it please thee to remember them? Oh, that thou mayst show them, Lord, that it is thy own work, that thou may feed them with the milk of the word. Oh, that they may be given to taste something of thy love and of thy goodness, and that to such a one as they are, and that thou may lead that people more and more into the depth of the knowledge of themselves, all that they may come to learn what is lying in the heart and that fountain of iniquity, that thou may lead them to that place wherein thy dear Son shall become so necessary in their life. Oh, look upon those for whom thou bringest it all unto an end, and thou knowest all their trouble and all their cry. Oh, then it seems that it goes goes in the wrong direction. But Lord, thou knowest what thou doest. Oh, that thou may instruct and teach them. And could it please thee also to reveal thyself this day? Oh, when thou showest thyself unto thy bride, oh, that thou may show thyself also unto them, and that they may be given to rejoice in thee, to be glad in thee. Look upon thy people. Oh, give them also a little token this day, when the waters run over their soul, and when the mountains they seem too high for them, and when everything seems to have disappeared, or when they lie perhaps on a bed of slothfulness, or when they cannot understand or agree with thy ways, Lord, that thou may feed and that thou may instruct and that thou may teach, that thou may lead them further into thy truth, and that thou may draw them unto thyself as their heart does desire. Look upon us then in mercy. Lord, it is a day wherein we may set aside all the things of this life, all the things of this world, the tasks of our hands. Oh, it is a day when we may come around thy word. It is a day when we may seek the blessing for our soul. Oh, we ask of thee that indeed it may lie in our heart in this morning. And if not, oh, may thou give it in truth for the first time in our life, for by renewal. That thou may feed us, O Lord, out of thy word, and that it may indeed be good to be together. Look upon all the afflicted ones. Be with all those that mourn, all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that go over this life alone and in all the needs and cares, and that lay upon us because of our iniquity. Look upon the child who has received surgery in the week that is gone by. Thou hast made it thus far well. Oh, that thou may continue to uphold him. And wilt thou gladden parents and grandparents with thy deeds. And wilt thou give also in the life of the other child that does lay in the hospital this day. And thou knowest all the circumstances when man is at an end. When he waits. When he awaits for that moment, when the soul that will flee the body, and when it will return to thee, Lord, when man is on the outside of it, and when it is so impossible to do anything, then it is not impossible for thee. Oh, with man it is impossible. But with thee nothing is impossible, or that we may still lay her before thee, that thou may still heal her, Lord. Oh, thou canst work a miracle when man's hands are tied, and when thou bringest before the gates of death, then it is still possible that when man cries unto thee in their trouble, that thou deliverest him from his distresses. That he may praise thy name, oh, that men may praise thee for thy goodness and for thy wonderful works unto the children of men. But if thy holy will be otherwise, oh Lord, how great a matter would it be when thou wouldst deliver the soul of this little daughter, and that thou may give her freedom from all the iniquity and the sin that lies within, and that thou would deliver her for that great eternity. Oh, strengthen the parents, Lord, be on the right and on the left in these very difficult times, and do wonders more than we can ask or think. Look upon all the needs and the cares in the midst of the congregation, those also that we know not of, the burdens that are laid upon each and every one, where every house has its own cross. Lord, give that to lead to thy blessed footstool. And wilt thou go before all thy servants this day, also him who may labor in this day in the midst of our sister congregation in this area. Oh, that thou may be on his right and on his left also, and that thou may remember us, and that thou may go before all thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Oh, give, and that thy spirit may go forth in great measure as it has in days gone by, and that we and our children and may be given to know what the work of that Spirit is in a personal way. Lord, help us. Help us, too, in this morning hour to open thy word and to fill our soul with matter, and that our mouth may go open for the good of this our people, and that thou mayest so bless thy word, and that our hearts may be so gladdened with thy deeds. Forgive and take away all that is sinful within and without, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 186, stanzas 1 through 5. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. 1 through 5 of Psalter 186.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the fourth verse, the second part. Song of Solomon 1, verse 4b. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee, and we will remember thy love more than wine, and the upright love thee. So far in the words of our text, the bride brought into the king's chambers. First, the chambers into which she is brought, and second, the fruit of being brought into his chambers. The bride brought into the chambers of the king. First, the chambers into which she is brought, and second, the fruit of being brought into his chambers. We find, congregation, in our text an alteration. It is an alteration in the condition of the life of this bride. She goes from praying to praising. We heard last week the first part, draw me, and we will run after thee. Thus it was her supplication. And now we read, the king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Thus it is not always the same in the life of God's church. That is also, children, in our life, it is not always the same. We all live, we all have life, but we know that one day is sometimes very different from another day. And how we feel, one day maybe you are sad, and another day that you are so glad. And so that is also in the life of God's church. One day, when this life comes to an end, and we enter into eternity, then it is always going to be the same. Then in heaven, there will be an eternal rejoicing that is never going to change. And in hell, then there will be an eternal weeping, and that is not going to change either. But as long as we are upon this earth, then there is a great difference from day to day. David writes, weeping may endure for a night, but he says, joy cometh in the morning. And so we read it in the words of our text, draw me. We will run after thee, the king hath brought me into his chambers. Comes one right on top of the other, does it not? Oh, how suddenly the condition in the life of God's children can change. That at one moment they are in the depth of their misery, and in the next moment, and that the Lord gives that people to rejoice. So the Lord says, and that it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Then how suddenly that church may be delivered by the Lord, so that they may know that it is not their own doing, but that is the work of the Almighty God. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. What is it? That is a declaration that her supplication has been granted, that her prayer has been answered. That is a great thing. What a wonder, congregation, if we may receive an answer to prayer. And why is that such a wonder? Because God is in heaven and we are upon the earth. Not only so, because we are fallen creatures. Thus, a great wonder if we may ever receive an answer to our cry. What did David say? He says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him," he says, "and delivered me out of all my troubles." And that is now the experience of that true church. And she may observe the bride. She may observe here the wonder of the answer of the Lord to her supplications. And the readiness of the Lord to answer such a one as she is. And then she wants to speak. And she wants to say it out loud. And she wants to say it for the benefit of whom? Oh, she wants to say it for the benefit of those who are still crying. For the benefit of those who are still in their supplications. For the benefit of those who still have no answer. That bride may say to them, "Continue on, go on, do not cease, do not be weary." No, look for a moment how that the Lord, He has delivered me. Thus, what a wonder when we may receive an answer to our supplications. And then that wonder becomes greater. Why? Because here, then the bride is not receiving an answer concerning natural things. But she is receiving an answer concerning spiritual things. And then we may have an impression of how much greater is the importance of those spiritual matters. Then what an infinite wonder if we may receive an answer from above concerning spiritual things. "The king hath brought me into his chambers." That is the first time we read now in the Song of Solomon that this bridegroom is actually a king. Thus he is not an ordinary man. He is not just a common man, but this is a bridegroom who holds a very, very significant office. And that is increasing the wonder of his condescension in the answer to her supplication. But it also says something about who that this bride is in the eyes of this bridegroom. Because this bride, we read, she is receiving a privilege which is not just an ordinary and a common privilege that is given to everyone. No, we read here that she is brought into his chambers. Thus, what are they? His chambers. Well, the chambers of the king, they are a place of very special communion and fellowship. And the fact that she is brought into these chambers is over against something else. What is it over against? That is over against receiving an ordinary salutation. By the way, we would say, children, it is opposed to or being contrasted to that king when he is going forth into the streets and that he is saying hello to his subjects. Well, he will do that for everyone whom he sees. And then we see in this a contrast that is over against such an ordinary salutation. It is over against being brought into the outer rooms of the king. We would say the public rooms of the king. Then this bride, she is brought into a very private room. That is the room that sometimes the courtiers are brought into. Thus, there are those very high within that kingdom, those that have received a very special task from the king, perhaps a very secret task. And the king is revealing unto his courtiers what his mind and will is, that he may show to them something that he does not show to everyone else. And then they have to keep this, boys and girls, as a very closed secret. Or that he is bringing a person into his personal communion. Thus, the bride brought in unto the bridegroom when they may rejoice together. That was the custom of the Jews. And that when the bride, she was married unto the bridegroom, and when the king would bring her in, that he would bring her into his chamber, and then he would open unto her all his treasures. And he would show to her his glory. And he would present these treasures to her, because now she was married unto him, and now all his treasures, they now become also her treasures. And so, as she is brought into a special communion to see the glory of the king, and that she also may take part in that glory of the king. Thus, Solomon writes here about a very special privilege. That bride, she is brought into the chambers of the king. And that is not something that is bestowed upon everyone. No, only those special ones, the favorites of the king, they are brought into his chambers. A place that he is revealing his secrets. That place that he is giving to know what his mind and will is, what he is hiding from the general public. That place where he is bestowing all of his favors. That place where they may experience something of his nearness, of his favor. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Is that not a great blessing? Is that not something, young people, that you say is so very desirable, when we might know the persons who stand the highest in this world, who have the most power in this world, and that we may come even into their chambers, not only into their presence, but that we may come into their communion? That is a great privilege. And yet Solomon was also a king. And Solomon is not speaking here about natural privileges. No, Solomon, we can read, and that he has declared the natural privileges in this life to be vanity. He says that the honor of this world and the riches of this world and the esteem of this world and all the power of this world, that is all something that is passing away. Then Solomon is allegorizing. He's allegorizing about what? He is allegorizing about spiritual matters. They are not something that Solomon has declared to be vanity. No, it is just the opposite. Then Solomon is showing what the greatness of the treasures are when we consider those things that have to do with our soul. Do you agree with him, young people? Do you agree with him? Oh, do you think yourself to be wiser than the wisest man? Do you think yourself to be wiser than he who has been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God? Do we think ourselves to be wiser than God Himself? No, these are the greatest blessings. Oh, may the Lord open the eyes of every one of us to see it. The King. The King hath brought me into his chambers. And if that is such a privilege, that we may be brought into the chambers of an earthly king, then who is able now to express what that privilege is of being brought into the chambers of the heavenly King? Is there a greater wonder of the condescension of God than that he would descend to bring a fallen man so close to him, to declare unto him his mind, to declare unto him his will? Is there a greater wonder of grace? Is there a greater wonder of mercy than that the King of the heavens and of the earth would descend unto man to make him a partaker of his riches, of his glory? Is there a greater wonder than that the God of the heavens and of the earth has made a way for this by setting his Son to be the King on the holy hill of Zion? And that he has made a great supper for his Son, that he is inviting the poor and the blind and the lame to come unto this supper, and that he is clothing them with a wedding garment. That is a people who are standing in awe of the condescension of this King to bring them themselves into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. King who is making, a King who is enforcing laws for the sake of that people, that they may be fed, that they may be nourished, that they may be protected, that he may subdue all of the enemies of that people. That he is also enforcing those laws, that he is receiving that people, that he is encouraging that people. The King had brought me into his chambers. No, not everyone may come there. No, it is only his favorites. It is only, we would say, his elect, those that have been chosen by that King, that he is bringing into his presence. Because we read his secret that is with them that fear him. And the world knows nothing of these mysteries. And the mere professor within the church of God, oh, he may know so much with his mind, but he never was brought into the chambers of the King. Thus he is to the Jews a stumbling block. He is to the Greeks foolishness. But these things that he is hiding from the wise and prudent within the church, without the church, he is revealing. He is revealing them unto the babes by bringing them into his chambers. And that King, he has so many chambers. Because he has so many special favors to bestow upon his people. That he may enlighten his people, that he may lead his people from step to step in the knowledge of himself, that he may give them to feel his nearness, his presence. Oh, there is a chamber. There is a chamber wherein he receives congregation, a poor beggar. To his great surprise, that he is receiving him just like that. He had thought he never, Oh, he thought he never would be received because of his poverty, because he had a heaven-high debt that he is not able to pay, because he has seen that he has an angry creditor. Then he thought that he would be imprisoned forever and never to be allowed out again. But when that king that he has brought him into his chamber, and then he has opened to him the freeness. Did the Lord ever bring you into his chamber? So to open the freeness of his gift, that is not something that he shows to everyone. No, that is something that he is showing unto those who are in debt. That he is opening to them that debt that is so fully paid, that it has been paid upon that cross of Calvary. And then he is opening unto them how freely, without money and without price, that he is bestowing this benefit upon his church. King hath brought me into his chambers. Congregation, have we ever been brought into the chambers of the King of Kings, that he may give to us, that he may show to us something of his mind, something of his will? There is a chamber wherein he shows something of his sanctifying power. The sanctifying power of that blood that he has himself shed for his church. That he is opening to his church. How that blood that is able to cleanse one who is leprous. Leprous from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Though their corruption that is in the marrow of their bones, though that is throughout their whole flesh, all then he is showing to them how that he is receiving those that maybe no one else in this whole world would receive. One who goes over this world and who has to cry out, unclean, unclean. And the one that in the congregation that everyone would least expect ever to enter into the kingdom of God because of his wicked life, because of his iniquity. All that the Lord is showing, that he is receiving them. And he is receiving them how? He is receiving them just as they are. Without having to cleanse themselves of any of that fountain of pollution that is lying within them. Bringing them into his chamber. And opening their eyes that they may behold this. That he is sanctifying them. That he is cleansing them. That he is washing them. And when he is washing them, there is no spot and there is no wrinkle. So that he may receive them unto himself. In that chamber, then they experience something. Or they experience how suitable the Lord Jesus is for such a one as I am. that there is no match as that match. When the Lord opens to the people why that he has come into this world, the very reason that the Father has sent him into this world, that was to do this very task, to cleanse a man from head to toe of all of his iniquity. There in that chamber, then the soul may acquiesce. The soul may agree to what he did not agree before. What is that? He may agree to be washed. Then he comes like Peter, who said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, O Lord. Not my feet only, but my hands and my head," all to acquiesce and to agree, to be washed by him who washes so freely those who are not able to wash themselves. Oh, the King hath brought me into his chambers. The King hath enlightened me. The King hath shown to me who that he is, even for such a one as I am. Oh, there is a chamber wherein he gives them to enter further and further into the blessedness of the meaning of his grace. Grace in what that is. That he will have mercy and not sacrifice. And then a people especially that have sinned against his grace. They have sinned against received grace. So that in their heart then they have to justify him when he would never look upon them again. But a chamber wherein that people are given to marvel at the goodness and at the long-suffering and at the faithfulness of the Lord to one who has left him days without number, when he is appearing unto Simon and when he is saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. No, my ways, they are so much higher than your ways, and they are ways and thoughts that you will magnify and glorify me for forever and forever." The King hath brought me into his chambers. There is a chamber wherein he shows the manner. He shows them the way that he can justify a sinner. Where he can justify one who is guilty. So that he can deliver him from that which he deserves. That he can deliver him from his just punishment. That he can deliver him from his eternal condemnation. A chamber. A chamber wherein he sets before them the unimpeachable justice of God. A chamber wherein he brings before them his holy law. And as the greater Joseph, he teaches them with those brothers to say, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." And with that thief that he teaches them to say, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds." And then in that chamber he comes to kiss them. He comes to kiss them with the kisses of his mouth and to reveal to them his blessed work of reconciliation with God, and to portray the power of his blood, not only to sanctify and to cleanse them, but the power of that blood to justify them and to make them one with the law, right with the law before God. And he opens to them, he He shows to them the meaning of the scapegoat, the scapegoat on which all the sin of the church is laid, and that scapegoat that is sent into the wilderness so that people receive eyes in one moment to see something. And what is that? That is by the shedding of that blood, my sin removed as far as east from west is distant. The king hath brought me into his chambers, congregation. Do we know something of what it means to be brought into the chambers of this king? There is also a weapons chamber. A weapons chamber. Do you know what is there, children? The weapons. The weapons for the church of God. And then he sheds light upon something. He sheds light upon the manner of the warfare. And that is a chamber wherein that people receive a great comfort. And why? Because they have a great enemy. Because it is a triple-headed enemy. Because it is not only enemies in this world, but because they are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. Thus, it is a spiritual enemy. Thus, it is Satan himself, an enemy against which they have no might to come, an enemy whom they fear. And they fear that this enemy, he is eventually going to overcome them. That they are going to fall into this sin or to that sin. That they are going to fall irreconcilably to God. That they will fall into the sin against the Holy Ghost even perhaps. Or in their heart not only, but also with their mouth to curse the Lord, to blaspheme the name of God. And so the Lord bringing them into this chamber, or when they are fearing that they will now one day perish by that hand of Saul, and then the Lord to open something to them. Then the Lord teaching their fingers to fight and their hands to war, and showing them something. What? Showing them that the weapons, they are not carnal weapons. Showing them that his strength that is made perfect in weakness. Do you know what he opens to them? He brings them back in the word of God and he shows to them David, who went with but a sling and a stone. We would say he went with nothing. In comparison to the might of that enemy, indeed that enemy, he says, am I a dog? And yet, the Lord, with the weapon of faith, he has given him to overcome that mighty enemy. Oh, in that chamber of the king, then the Lord is showing to them a Gideon. No. Then he brought not the sword and the spear of this world, but with the sword of the Lord, then he did come against and overcome that mighty enemy. Oh, in that chamber of the king, the Lord bringing that people in nearness to himself and opening up to them the mystery that battle that is already won. And that head of that enemy that is so mighty in the eyes of that people, that the head of that enemy, he is bruised. And all of his power is taken away. And though the remnants of his rage, they are felt in the life of that people, yet that enemy is chained, and not a hair can fall from their head without the will of his Father. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so a little rest in the midst of the strife, that warfare here below, the king hath brought me into his chambers. All there is a chamber where he causes the people to inherit substance, where he brings that bride in unto himself, and where he shows something of his great glory to his people. When he speaks comfortably to her, and he shows to her that he has loved her with an everlasting love, and that he opens unto her all his treasures, and that he assures her that they are treasures that are for her, forever and forever. Oh, what does he show her? He shows her how that he, as the mediator, has reconciled her to a triune God, and that he brings her by the Spirit of the Lord into that Father heart of God again. A chamber wherein the flesh of that church is not able to bear it so long. His left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. But a chamber wherein the longing that is aroused in their heart to be with Christ, which is far better, so that church is crying out, even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The King hath brought me into his chambers. Congregation, do we know what it is to be brought into the chambers of that King? Do we desire it? Do we say with that bride, draw me, we will run after thee? And may we know also something of an answer of this King. Let us sing Psalter 204, 2 through 4. Ever, O Lord, with thee, all shall be well with me, held by thy hand. And thou wilt guide my feet by thy own counsel sweet, till I for glory meet, in glory stand. 2 through 4 of Psalter 204. Our last thought, the fruit of being brought into his chambers. And what is that fruit? The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We have told you, young people, that there is joy, that there is rejoicing within that church of God. And yet it is not the same as that superficial rejoicing that we can hear all around us in a great measure in our days. No, there is a mark of distinction. And what is that mark of distinction that we read of here in our text? That is the object of this rejoicing, what she is rejoicing over. What is she rejoicing over? And who is she rejoicing in? We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Scribes and the Pharisees, they also rejoiced. They rejoiced in their own religious obedience, and they were so glad for themselves. But they did not rejoice in Christ. But there were many that did rejoice in Christ, and our children can tell who they are. Right, boys and girls, who were so happy with the Lord Jesus. The lepers, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. They rejoiced in the Lord Jesus. You say, minister, you always come back to the same place. That's right. We always come back to the same place. Why? Oh, if we ever had to leave here, we do not think we have to leave here. Don't get us wrong. If we ever had to leave here, young people, we hope that this would remain with you. This point, who that true rejoicing church is. That is a people that cannot help themselves. And if we do not know this part, we know nothing of true religion. Remember that your whole life. Because there are so many people that can help themselves. And that is a religion of deceit and of guile. And we hope that you never fall for that deceit. That bride, she says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. Why? Why? You can read it. Well, she says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. And in the original, it is actually a little stronger. That is, he made me to come in. He caused me to come into his chambers. Thus, a very definite implication that she had in herself no ability to come into his chambers. Remember that what that would be, because in those chambers, then the Lord is giving his church faith, that is that organ, that is that hand, to receive the blessing, the spiritual blessing. Thus, a definite implication that she has not the ability in herself to receive this blessing, that there are so many difficulties that are standing in her way. Thus she does not say, I went then into his chambers. I exercised then faith. Then I believed in him and then I received it. No. This is what she had no power to do. Is not this what she was asking of the Lord? Did she not say, Lord, draw me? That faith, that is a duty, yes.
That is a duty, but she had no ability to do that duty. Lord, Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me, then we will run after thee. And now she marvels. This is what she has asked of him. And now he has answered that petition that I have asked of him. That king, he has brought me there. He has brought me into his chambers. Oh, he has revealed himself to me. He has given faith to me to believe it. Oh, then I could not believe it anymore. No, then it was imputed unto me. And this was the cause of her gladness. Why? Oh, then she knew one thing for sure. Oh, she had not stolen it. No, now she had a right to it. And where did she receive that right? She received it from him himself. Because he gave it unto her. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Oh, he is the one who has included me when I could not include myself for the greatness of my guilt and of my filth and my pollution and my ignorance and my fall. Oh, that love of him I will remember, she says, more than wine. I will value it above everything we can possibly value in this world. When the Lord gives a visit to his people, oh, they do not become careless and profane. Is this, young people, is this a church of God who is now careless and profane? Read it now for yourself and see the truth of our forefathers. Careless? Oh, she says she is going to do something. She's going to remember. I am going to remember this every day of my life. When I go through the rest of my life over the Meshech of this world, in the wilderness of this world, that I am never going to let this world draw me anymore. The wine of this world that my wretched and natural heart is seeking after, I am never going to seek after it more. No, but I am going to remember his love. And I am going to remember it more than wine, so that will overcome all that law that is in my members, that it will keep me from sin. Oh, alas, later we read she is lying on a bed of slothfulness. That is later. The bridegroom comes again, he is knocking. But indeed, this is what is lying in her heart. Oh, that desire, that intention that is so alive in her soul. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. The upright, they are the same as the virgins. But now we have a different character, a different part of the character of that true church that is laid out. Not only virgins, not only pure, not only the love only for that bridegroom, but she is also upright. That is the church, sincere. Does not have a double end, but has a single end. And the practice of their life, that is just like their heart turned out inside out. Then you can read what is in their heart by only looking at their life, the upright. And now she speaks about those upright ones. And she says, the upright, they love thee. She says, that church, that is one. And when the Lord has given me to enter into his chambers, and when the Lord has given me to speak also of that entrance into his chambers, and what that mediator is for his church, oh, then something came in the heart of those upright ones also, and the love of their heart that was also drawn after him, all those who experience something of the grace and mercy to the chiefest of the sinners. I dare say that is going to be the song of the 144,000 that are redeemed from the earth forever and forever. For those that were not able to help themselves. Congregation, oh, do we know something? Will that also be our rejoicing one day? If we remain a complete stranger of what it means to be brought into his chambers, then let us be careful. Then let us be careful that we do not presume for ourselves a good state for our soul.
We do not say that you must reach the highest steps with this bride, but something, in a normal way, the Lord is showing unto his church of himself. And when the king brings a person into his chambers, then you understand something of how personal, how very, very personal that this is. That is not just public, though we may be sitting here in the public. When the king may bring us into his chambers, yet then there is something of communication between God and my soul. People of the Lord, how long has it been since the Lord has brought you into his chambers? Oh, when is the last time that something of his love, that something of his mercy, that something of his faithfulness, that something of his goodness and long-suffering unto you has been revealed? When was the last time that you may be brought into his chambers and that you may feel something of his nearness, of his care, and of his favor in your strife, in the warfare? Oh, do you desire to be brought into another chamber that you may experience more and receive more knowledge of him, that you may receive another favor? Oh, he knows where to bring you, and he also knows when. He also knows when to bring his children into his chambers. And what is therefore their place? All their place is then to wait at wisdom's gates before this chamber and to say, Lord, draw me. Oh, draw me, we will run after thee. And then he will not suffer you always to remain without, but he will bring you in so that you also may be glad and rejoice in him, and that you may remember his love more than wine. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth, and oh, bring thou us to know what is the experience of thy church, and that we may not remain without the knowledge personally of the mystery of free and sovereign grace to the chief of sinners. Oh, show it to us, Lord. Lead us into all thy truth, for it is a blessed truth. It is a saving truth. It is a God-glorifying truth. Wilt thou bless thy word and forgive our many sins and bring us safely home. Go with our brother in this afternoon and evening in the other part of our congregation. Remember them there also in that place, from week to week, and all that labor there. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 426 stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 426. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.